World Sport from the BBC with Joe Parsons coming up. South Africa rugby look to have a Springbok team made up of 50% non-white players in time for the 2019 World Cup. The Europa League holders Sevilla are into the last 16, but Liverpool are out, beaten on penalties in Turkey. And what next for the Afghanistan bowler who helped his team to a landmark win at cricket's World Cup? The South African Rugby Union have unveiled a plan to have a Springbok team made up of 50% non-white players by the time of the 2019 World Cup. At a news conference in Cape Town, the organisation's CEO, Jury Roux, stressed that the strategic transformation plan wasn't a quota system and that it was about making changes at all levels of the game.
The reality is that we get probably criticised the most on the way we play the Springbok team and how they play and then style of rugby and the members of the team, and if you select a team, everybody's got different, and then everybody's got excuses on why we our school structures are not great, we're letting the players go, you know, we don't have coaches, we don't have enough coaches, we don't have enough players. So what we've written now is something to address all of those issues. So let us address those issues and judge us on what we're there.
The sports news editor of the Pretoria News, Vata Ngobeni, says he believes the targets are very achievable if players progress from the youth levels to competitions such as Super Rugby and the top domestic competition, the Currie Cup.
One only has to look at, you know, the schoolboy tournament that happens every year in South Africa, interprovincial schoolboy tournament, the Craven Week. Yeah, in South Africa, interprovincial schoolboy tournament, the Craven Week. You know, you go first one tier down to the under 16 level at the Crown Chroma Week, and we see their teams, provincial teams, play against each other with a good, you know, representativity of players of colour. You look at the sheer numbers of players that are registered, you know, with the South African Rugby Union, especially at junior level. You know, there's more than enough players of colour going around. You know, that should be coming through the system and making it all the way into Currie Cup, Super Rugby, and eventually the Springboks. One thing that's interesting in the whole plan is that one of the pictures that was presented was that, you know, in 2008 and 2009 under Peter de Villiers, the Springbok team looked quite representative of the demographics of the country. However, since 2012 when Heineken took over, there's been a steady decline. That has, you know, almost become rapid, you know, in his second year. And unfortunately, the pace of transformation in South Africa gets judged by the national team. And one only had to look at Super Rugby and Currie Cup, and you'd see the, you know, a shocking decline in the number of players of colour not being given an opportunity to play.
Next to football's Europa League, where second leg matches in the round of 32 have been completed. The cup holder Sevilla beat Borussia Mönchengladbach 3-2 in Germany to go through 4-2 on aggregate. Feyenoord's match with Roma was suspended early in the second half due to crowd trouble, with the Italians leading 1-0 and the hosts down to 10 men in Rotterdam. The referee led the players off the pitch in the 55th minute after home fans threw objects onto the pitch, including a giant plastic banana, 1 minute after Feyenoord had Mitchell Tevfredis sent off. Roma won the match 2-1 to go through 3-2 on aggregate, with Jovinio netting the crucial goal. Well, Roma are one of five Italian sides through to the last 16. They're joined by Inter, who knocked out Celtic, Napoli, Torino and Fiorentina, who beat Spurs 2-0 in Florence for a 3-1 aggregate win. Besiktas knocked out Liverpool on penalties. The match in Turkey finished 1-0 to the home side, leaving the tie level. Dejan Lovren missed the decisive spot kick. So Everton are the only English side through. They beat Young Boys of Burns 3-1 at Goodison Park, making it 7-2 on aggregate. Reporting, Ian Brown.
Everton will be flying the flag all by themselves in the last 16. They suffered a shaky start on the night as Sonogo volleyed Young Boys ahead. Then the Swiss hit the bar, but a Lukaku penalty settled any small nerves. Lukaku then smashed in his fifth goal of the tie overall, and Morales made it 3-1 on the night, 7-2 on aggregate before half-time. Thereafter, it was a stroll, and Everton should have scored a couple more, and the biggest cheer of the night at Goodison was reserved for news of Liverpool's demise in Turkey.
Well, completing the last 16 lineup, Dinamo Moscow, Zenit St. Petersburg and Dnipro from Russia, Ajax, Wolfsburg, Villarreal, Club Brugge and Dinamo Kiev. Proceedings are underway in a Belgian court in a bid to challenge UEFA's financial fair play rules. These are the regulations brought in to try and level the playing field, which has meant teams like Manchester City and Paris Saint-Germain being punished for overspending. The action is being led by the agent, Daniel Striani, as well as fans from PSG and City. So what's the argument Striani and the supporters are putting forward? His football lawyer, Daniel G.
It's a number of fold, but effectively it is that the FFP UEFA break-even regulations prohibit unlimited spending by benefactor owners. So their query is the UEFA regulations are brought in for self-sustainability reasons, according to UEFA, but that obviously prohibits unlimited spending with the effective sanction of expulsion from UEFA competition. So they're saying not only does it stop unlimited spending, but the fossilisation of the status quo, i.e. the top teams remain the biggest because they have the biggest revenues and therefore can spend the most of money. And that stops new entrants coming into the market.
The Cricket World Cup continues later on Friday when West Indies take on South Africa in what could be a pivotal game. But there's still plenty of focus on Thursday's landmark victory by Afghanistan. Their first ever win at the tournament has been attracting widespread coverage, even in countries where cricket is very much a minor sport. Such has been the impact of their fast bowler Hamid Hassan that he featured on the pages of the Wall Street Journal in the United States. He was instrumental as Afghanistan beat Scotland by one wicket in a thrilling match in Dunedin. And it was a proud moment for coach Andy Moles.
They're so passionate, they've worked hard, and I'm just really pleased that they can have some success. I know the game is very, very closely followed back at home in Afghanistan, throughout all of Afghanistan. The president has taken a close interest. He sent messages of support after we played well against Sri Lanka. But, you know, for today, what was pleased for me to see such a fighting spirit and a will that they must win.
Hamid Hassan, who wears a red bandana and face paint, has become the focus of the team. John Stevenson, the head of cricket at the Marylebone Cricket Club, or MCC, said his potential was clear from the first time he saw him play 9 years ago.
I was first introduced to Hamid after Afghanistan came down from India to play MCC in Mumbai. And we took on Hamid and Mohammed Nabi onto the MCC Young Cricketer staff in 2006. And ever since then, we've remained close. Our relationship has remained very, you know, very good, and he's represented the club on many occasions. You know, to see what he's done over the last 9 years is just great from our point of view. And nothing that he's done at the World Cup has surprised me at all. His speed is effortless, and you know, it's just all raw talent, really.
Could he become the first Afghani to play in county cricket?
Well, a couple of years ago, I was trying very hard to convert what was a lot of interest from three counties to getting him on a staff. But it is tricky with the situation with visas, etc. It's not that straightforward. But I think what's happened to him during the World Cup, I think that interest could be sparked again, and it wouldn't surprise me if we saw him, notwithstanding those issues with visas, perform at county level.
Next to Formula One, and Fernando Alonso is expected to race in the opening Grand Prix of the season in Australia in 2 weeks' time, despite crashing during testing in Spain on Sunday. The McLaren boss, Ron Dennis, revealed that Alonso was knocked unconscious for a few seconds, but he escaped unharmed and is now resting at home. A federal judge in the United States has cleared the way for the Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson to be reinstated to the NFL, ruling that the sports arbitrator failed to meet his duty in a child abuse case that shook the league. The U.S. District Judge David Doty said the league cannot retroact. The U.S. District Judge David Doty said the league cannot retroactively apply the standards of its new tougher personal conduct policy to an action by Peterson that occurred before that policy was in place. A top story again, the South African Rugby Union have unveiled a plan to have a Springbok team made up of 50% non-white players by the time of the 2019 World Cup. You can catch up with all the latest sports news and results at our website, that's bbc.com/sport. But for now, that's the latest BBC Sport.